The passage this evening is from Colossians 3, verses 1 to 15, and it can be found on page 1184 of the Church Bibles. I'll just give you something, and I think it's gone. It appears magically on the screen as well. Right. So Colossians 3, verse 1. Since then, you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Angela. Let's pray. Father God, we just ask you to be with us now as we look at this fabulous passage from Colossians. So just pray that you will give us all open ears and open hearts to hear what you want to say to each one of us. Amen. Do you know that phrase, all dressed up and nowhere to go? Well, tonight we're going to discover that we can be all dressed up with somewhere to go. Do you ever think about what you should wear? Or are there occasions when you have to put on particular clothing? As many of you know, I'm a civil servant at the Department for Work and Pensions, and we're currently in the middle of the pensions bill, taking it through, currently through the House of Lords. And that means that sometimes I have to be over there in what they call the officials' box, and it literally is a box for officials, civil servants. But I have to dress a certain way when I'm over there. Men have to wear jacket and tie. Ladies, it's slightly easier. We just have to make sure our shoulders are covered. But I have to dress in a particular way. Other people, other occupations have to dress in certain ways. For example, builders have to put on protective clothing when they're working. And some people have to change completely. I mean, look at David on a Sunday morning. But firemen, miners, and some shop assistants have to change completely for when they go to work. Clothes are an important aspect of who we are, and they often show people the type of person we are. They project a certain image of us. So this evening, we're going to look at the sorts of clothes we should be wearing as Christians. Now, fear not, this is not a fashion sermon. It's about the spiritual clothes we should be wearing. Clothes that make us who we are and outwardly show the world we are Christians. What Paul is challenging us to do is to change the way we live. In the previous chapter, he talks about us dying with Christ, that we live in the world, but we are not of the world. If we are Christians and follow Jesus, we need to live in a way that brings God glory, the way Jesus would want us to. And what Paul does in this passage is give us an outline of what we need to do. So we're going to look at why we are called to change the way we live, what we are called to stop doing, in other words, what must die in us, and then look at how different our lives will be with Jesus at the heart. Paul is encouraging the new Christians at Colossae to change the way they live, And he links to the previous passage by saying, since then, you have been raised with Christ. He's going to tell the Colossians why they must change. And those reasons are just as valid for us today. When we accept Jesus into our lives and follow him, we need to keep our focus on him. And that's what Paul is saying in those first four verses at the start of our passage. He is encouraging us to desire a heaven and kingly rule of Christ. When we became Christians, we died to our old lives. But we have been raised with Christ, and our lives are now hidden with him. We are alive with Christ, and when he comes again, we will be with him in glory. Paul is explaining why we need to change, why we should want to change, before we go into the detail of what must change in our lives. And this desire to change should not be because of what we fear may happen if we don't, but because we want to. That we want to joyfully serve God because we know what he has done for us and that he makes us who we are. On Friday evening, I was out for a drink with a friend from work. I know that's quite surprising to some of you. And we were talking about God and other religions. And he was saying how he didn't really like religion because actually, you know, you have to do good things in order to get reward. And I simply said, but that's not what Christianity is about. I live the way I live because Jesus died for me on the cross. I don't have to do anything to get eternal life. I simply have to believe in Jesus, that he died for me, for my sins, past, present, and future. And whatever I do, doesn't matter. He loves me and has accepted me. And I don't get a reward for doing good things or not doing good things, but I want and I choose to live my life the way I do. Now, Paul explains this much better than I can in those first few verses. We know our position in Christ. We've been raised with him. We already share the first fruits of resurrection with Christ, in that our spirits have been made alive with him. And because of that, we should set our hearts and minds on things above, to the risen and ascended Jesus. And when we do that, we will get a glimpse of the future, appearing with him in glory. When I read those first few verses, it really stirred an interest and excitement in me. Yes, I want all that. I want Jesus to be the focus of my life. I want to claim that promise of eternal life. Perhaps that's what Paul wanted to stir in the hearts of those early Christians, an interest in wanting to know more and a desire to change, an eagerness to change rather than out of a sense of fear, duty, or obligation. In the next few verses, Paul talks about what we need to stop doing if we profess to be Christians. But Paul is even stronger in his words. He doesn't just say we've got to stop doing certain things or having certain attitudes. He says we have to put these things to death. We have to stop doing them forever. Now, the theme running through this passage reminds us of baptism. Paul's references to casting off clothing, dying and putting on new clothes will have struck a chord with those new Christians in Colossae. And reading this passage so soon after the two adult baptisms here in St. Pat's certainly struck a chord with me. In Paul's time, when people were baptised, it was usually done in a river. Their old clothes would have been discarded on the riverbank and they would have climbed into the river where they would have been submerged, just as Greg and Matt were a couple of weeks ago here. And that symbolic gesture of dying to our old life, of dying with Christ, killing off our evil ways and bad habits, and then coming up out of the water renewed and changed forever. In Paul's time, the newly baptized Christian would have climbed out of the river and put on their baptismal robe, a symbol of the new life they have taken on. And so in our passage, Paul uses this imagery that would have really resonated with the Colossians, as he describes putting our old ways to death and then taking on new clothes for our lives in Christ. Paul is encouraging us to acknowledge our old bad habits and take decisive action to end them, to put them to death. And as we look through the list, you may think, I don't do any of those, or half are irrelevant to me. That's fine. It's not meant to be a definitive list. Paul is giving examples to the Colossians that would have resonated with them, that they would have recognised as being prevalent in their lives. For us, the list may be different, but there will be things in our lives that we have to put to death if we are to live lives more like Jesus. And Paul breaks the list down into two broad areas: sins against ourselves and sins against each other. So let's look at the first group. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. These are all improper ways of living for a Christian. By sexual immorality, Paul's referring to any sexual activity outside marriage. For Christians, the only true place for sex is within marriage. The next behaviour we have to kill off is impurity. And the Greek word here means a cleaning. It's a negative word. It implies a dirty or unclean attitude of the heart. We also need to kill off lust. And that's a passion or desire that's selfish and self-centred. A selfish desire to possess someone or something for ourselves with complete disregard for anyone else. And that links to the next behaviour, which is evil desires. Those things we want that will only bring harm to ourselves or those around us. And finally, greed, which is idolatry. The desire to want more. Not just in a physical sense of more money, more gadgets, more better, newer cars, but to want them in such a way that we idolise them. Wanting them becomes a sole focus of our being. A bit like those people who queue for days before the next iPad is launched. Nothing else matters. And in the midst of searching for those things, they replace God. They become our focus, not God. God is simply substituted for the material things around us. Paul then turns his attention to how we behave towards each other and lists the ways we can hurt and upset each other simply by what we say. But now you must rid yourselves of such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other. Anger, that takes a deep root within ourselves, an idea that's expressed as a deep bitterness of heart. It simmers deep within us and makes us bitter towards others. And sometimes we just can't contain it and our anger explodes from us and we end up shouting or arguing with the person we are angry with. And that's rage, that violent outburst of words that can cause so much harm and pain. The next thing we need to rid ourselves of is malice. That's an evil intent to do harm to another person. It's a really hateful and vindictive attitude. Then there's slander. In Greek, the word is blasphemia, which we would recognise as to blaspheme. But Paul isn't just speaking about us talking about badly about God. He's meaning when we speak horribly or in a nasty way about somebody else. How many of us have been caught gossiping about someone, saying not very nice things about them? Then comes filthy language from our lips. Not just swearing, but the way we talk, some of the language we use. We need to think before we speak. And finally, do not lie to one another. Easier said than done sometimes. It's just a little white lie. No harm will be caused by it, we think to ourselves. That's true. But that little white lie of, oh, sorry, I'm already booked, can't help you do such and such, can cause real difficulty to the person who's asking for help. They may have to tackle that job on their own and take twice as long than if we'd helped them whilst we're sat comfortably at home on the sofa. As I said, some of the things on this list may not resonate with you. But if you're like me, there are probably more here on the list that strike a chord than don't. But don't be disheartened. Just as you begin to think there is no hope, I do so many things on that list, I'm just a lost cause, Paul shows us what we can do to make it right. Paul reminds us, we have taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. What I love about verse 10 is that it's in the present tense. Put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. This renewing is an ongoing thing. It's not a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. It doesn't say, was renewed. It doesn't say, will be renewed. It says, is being renewed. And isn't that an incredible thought and encouragement? That even though we fail and we will get it wrong and we will sin, we are still being renewed. And the other next amazing thing is that this is available to everyone. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Paul is pointing out that whilst we may treat people differently, we may disregard them or treat them as inferior because of their background, their race, religion, culture or class, Jesus does not. Greeks and Jews had so many reasons to dislike and mistrust each other. Their cultures were both ancient and highly civilized, and yet had completely opposite values. Jews were circumcised, Greeks were not. Barbarians were those who didn't speak Greek, were uneducated and were thought to be uncivilized. The Scythians, despite their name, were not monsters from Doctor Who, but were known for their brutality and were considered little better than wild beasts. And then a contrast between slaves and those who were free. Slaves who had no dignity or choice, at the mercy of their owners, who could just buy and sell them at will without a care or thought for them or their families. Incredible that these groups, along with us, were chosen and accepted by Jesus. Jesus has made everyone equal. Christ died for us all. He is Lord of all. It's an incredible promise and one that should stir us to want to change our lives for the better. Paul then goes on to describe the new clothes we should put on in order to live our new lives. The garments of grace and forgiveness that equip us to become more like Jesus. Clothes that make us different to those around us who do not yet know Jesus. Paul starts this section from verse 12 with, "Therefore, as God's chosen people." And that was how God referred to Israel in the Old Testament. But now it applies to us all. We are all chosen, part of a Christian community together. And because we are chosen, we have a responsibility to live a godly life. Now that is a challenge in itself. But Paul helps us to understand what we can do. He describes the clothes we need to put on as we step out into the world as Christians. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive what grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So the first thing we should put on is compassion. That's a heartfelt concern for others. It's about getting alongside people when we see they're having a difficult time, responding to a need in a caring way. Compassion sits alongside kindness, taking the time to understand what is needed and meeting that need. Simply taking time to sit and chat with someone, showing that you care. Maybe inviting people round for a meal or taking some food round to someone who's ill or had a baby and just hasn't time to cook. We also need to clothe ourselves with humility. A humble person puts others first, regardless of what it might cost to themselves. And then there is gentleness. But being gentle doesn't mean we have to be soft, but that we have a soft touch when dealing with people. Often, humility and gentleness can be seen as weaknesses. People like that are just a walkover. But we only have to look to Jesus to know that's not true. He was the perfect example of humility and gentleness, and yet look at what he did. There was no weakness in him. Then we are called to put on patience. Now, patience isn't something that comes naturally to me. I'm usually in a hurry and want things now. But if we do not have patience, then we will find the next things we need to do really hard. If we do not have patience, how can we bear with each other and forgive as the Lord forgave us? We need patience to bear with each other when times are hard. We need patience to forgive each other, and that can be really hard and take time to forgive someone if they've really hurt us. But that is what we are called to do. We must forgive as Jesus forgives us. And then comes the key. Over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. To me, this is like a great big overcoat that covers everything, and it just finishes off the outfit and makes it perfect. Now, as some of you know, a couple of weeks ago, I spoke in the morning at the 4 o'clock service on what it means to be a loving body as part of our sermon series on being fit for service. And the passage that I used there was that wonderful chapter on love, 1 Corinthians 13, which reminds us of what it means to be part of a loving body, that love sits alongside faith and hope, but the greatest of these is love. There are echoes in this passage of the practical things we need to do to show love. It is active and doing. It's not just about feelings and heart. If we put on love over all these other gifts, we are giving ourselves the right motivation. We are living a life that glorifies God, a life with God at the heart. Because as we read in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, God is love. In taking on these clothes, we are being challenged to live as Jesus lives. Paul is pulling no punches with this passage. These new clothes are a beautiful gift from God. It's up to us whether we put them on or not. Paul goes on to speak about being part of the body in the remainder of the passage. We're called to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. Anger, rage, greed all cause pain and hurt, but peace can override this. If we let peace dwell in our hearts, there will be no room for all those horrible things from our past lives. John chapter 14, verse 27, there's a great promise from Jesus. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Now, in the next bit of the passage, Paul gives us some words as to how we can clothe ourselves and how we can continue to be renewed and changed like Jesus. Paul gives the Colossians the answers that they are just as relevant to us today. We'll hear more about it next week, but very briefly, we should let the word of Christ dwell in us. And that means read our Bibles. Come to church. If you can't come to church on Sunday, then listen to the sermons on the website or have a listen again. Go on a Christianity Explored course or join a life group. They're all places where we can let the word of God dwell in us. We are a body of Christ here at St. Pat's. And we're called to teach and support each other. And when necessary, we need to admonish each other. But if we do have to say something to someone about their behaviour or what they are saying, we should do it with compassion, kindly, gently, and in love. Not to belittle or to make them feel bad, but to encourage them to return to Jesus, to ask for and receive forgiveness, and to continue being renewed. At the heart of all we do, there should be praise and thanksgiving to God. And that's where we come together here. But these new clothes that we've been called to put on, they're not just for Sundays. They're for every day. They're for when we're out in the workplace, our colleges, our schools, our social groups, with our friends and with our families. Wherever we are, we should be the same person. And that's why it's not enough to simply put off our old ways, but we need to put those ways to death so that we can take on new, clean, pure clothes that give us all we need for living a life to glorify God. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. As we take on these new clothes and continue being renewed, we shall be all dressed up with somewhere to go. Amen.